Amen. It's a good thought. Good lesson. As a matter of fact, it's a powerful lesson. The little things, we can handle some of those, can't we? The big things, we can't. But if we're in the habit of going to the Lord for his help in the little things, it'll be a whole lot easier and second nature to go to him for the big things. I appreciate that message so much. If you'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, appreciate all that Brother Kenneth has brought to us this morning, and I want to kind of step back and kind of enlarge upon that. The book of Ephesians, wonderful, wonderful book. It's kind of one of my go-tos whenever I'm just kind of feeling down and I need to be reminded about the love of God. Because you start out in that first chapter and it's just all the wonderful things that God has done for us. He didn't look to us to finish it. He did it. He purposed to do it from the foundation of the world. He sent his son to this world. Jesus finished that work, and we rejoice in it today. We're the happy recipients of all that he's done for us. And that in itself is the big why we should follow him. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Now, he did a work we couldn't do, but he left us the example to follow. And as I've said many times, that word, that 1 Peter 2:21, that word example there, that if you look to the original language, that word that's used there for example, it's the only time you find it in the New Testament. So something special about that example, isn't it? And it's the example Jesus left. And the example Jesus left is a perfect example. No shortcomings. Didn't leave anything off. Did exactly what the Father sent him to do. And so as we're looking for the example he left us and trying to follow in his steps, and bless your hearts, we'll be blessed in this. And so, do you think Jesus paid attention to the little things? Absolutely. He had the big things. He had bigger things to do than we could ever do. But bless your hearts, in all things he was faithful. All right. Maybe you found the book of Ephesians by now. I want to, you know, sometimes when you read a book a number of times, something just starts popping out at you. You know, rather than looking at each verse and each word and going through verse by verse, sometimes after you've read the book several times, you start seeing themes. You start seeing that some things are repeated. And whenever something's repeated in the Word of God, we know it's there for a reason. Because this is by design. This is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as it breathed upon men and moved them to write these things for us. It's God's words of instruction. It's not the ideas of men. It's not the helpful hints for Heloise. It's God's word. And if we'll follow God's word, we'll be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? I'm not saying, you know, like Kenneth quoted how that in the world you shall have tribulation. We know that. So I'm not saying that you just follow this and you won't ever have any problems. No, that's not the case. But what I am saying is if we follow this, he'll be with us in our problems. And if we can feel like the Lord's with us, and whatever happens. You know, the Apostle Paul endured a lot, didn't he? He had a lot of struggles. But, and he had a thorn in the flesh that he asked the Lord three times to remove it. He begged, I'm satisfied, he was begging God to remove this from my life. The Lord didn't do it. Well, preacher, I thought every time we prayed, the Lord would hear our prayer and answer our prayer. He answers according to his will, because he knows what's best for us. We may be asking one thing, he knows something else is better. And it may be some tribulation, it may be some struggle to give us some strength to handle what's coming down the road. But we don't have to live with something ominous hanging over our head. We just need to trust God. I think Brother Ken mentioned how that Abraham went out and rescued Lot and his family. And right after that, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do you know why that was so significant to Abraham at that time in his life? Because it's very possible that he was wondering if all those kings was going to come after him for what he did. After they gathered up their forces, they may have come after Abraham. But the Lord said, I'm your shield. You just do what I tell you, and and Isaiah uses the word rearward. In other words, the Lord's our shield, but he also takes care of the consequences behind us. If we face him, use the armor he's given us, face the battle, do what he says to do, the Lord will take care of the consequences. The Lord will take care of what's behind us. We just need to press into the kingdom. All right? So in Ephesians, coming back to Ephesians now, as you read through, you'll find an awful lot that's said about walking. The Christian walk. How we should walk before God. You've got the first three chapters that are primarily doctrinal in nature. You've got the last three that are predominantly practical in nature. All right? So when we think about walking, I'm just going to go through some of the teaching that we're given here about the walking before God. Now, we understand when the scriptures speak about walking before him, we're not talking about just putting one step in front of another. We're talking about the way we conduct ourselves, the way we act. How we act in this world, how we react to problems when something doesn't go our way, or when we're in a hurry and people won't get out of our way. You know, I'll have to confess, I need some help there. Anybody else have that problem? Folks just get in your way a lot, don't they? I just need to learn to slow down a little bit. I just need to learn to be a little more patient. I just need to realize that those folks they're not really getting in my way. I just need a little more patience. Anybody else feel that way?
Oh yeah.
Every now and then we need to be still and know he's God. Our walk. If somebody were to follow you around all week, how would they describe your walk? Would they say, there goes a God-fearing person? I mean, they are so kind. They're so patient. They're thinking about others more than themselves. They're looking for ways to be a help and an encouragement to others more than themselves. They want to make sure that the decisions that they make are guided by the Word of God. Would somebody say all those things about your walk for a week? I hope you don't follow me around. No, I'm just, you know, we're all susceptible to not paying enough attention to the little things, getting in a hurry, being impatient, because many of the frustrations that we have in life are because we can't do what we want to do as fast as we want to do it. Bottom line. So who are we serving? Our own will? Or the will of God? I mean, be honest. You can say what you want to, but God knows the truth. All right? So, this is needful that we look at what the scriptures say about our walk. And I'm not focusing on one verse this morning, but kind of given an overview of what Ephesians has to say. So chapter 1, again, the great fundamental doctrines of the foundation of God. He chose a people. Verse 4. He chose a people in Christ, which means his son would come to this earth and save them by shedding his own precious blood on the cross. So that people chosen in him would receive all the benefits of what Jesus did, because he's going to take all of our sins upon him and bear them to the cross. Oh, you know, have you ever had somebody do a favor for you and you appreciated it, didn't you? Maybe they did something big for you and you really appreciated that. But brethren, I don't have words to describe what God's done for us. All the blessings of what Jesus has done for us in dying for our sins and putting our sins away, even the sins we've not yet committed, all of our sins he has paid for. And he'll never look to us for that. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. Bless your hearts. That's the why. That's the big why that we should follow his steps and honor him with anything that we can in our life, because eternity awaits. That's a long time. If you live to be 100 years old, that's nothing compared to eternity. And what Jesus has done has taken away our sins for all. The penalty of our sins, he took that away. And we never have to face the wrath of God eternally. Oh, we need to bear that in mind. And let everything we do in our lives say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Now, the great why. Chapter 1. Chapter 2 begins by saying, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know what that means? It means that except by the grace of God, we would still be separated from him. And apart from the grace of God, grace, by the way, is unmerited favor. Grace is something we don't deserve. And yet God has given us great blessings by his grace. We didn't earn it. We weren't working for it. As a matter of fact, we didn't even want it.
That's right.
He describes the kind of walk a person would have, and it's the ugly truth of how a person will walk in this world apart from the grace of God. Listen to what he says. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, those people out there that care nothing for God, they're doing all kinds of ungodly things that are hurting a lot of people, and that are it doesn't bother them at all. That's what we would be apart from the grace of God, because this old nature, this sinful nature that's in us that we inherited from Adam. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world when Adam sinned, therefore death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all died in trespasses and sins. We all have that old nature of ours that's sinful. But for those that are chosen in Christ, he quickens by his Holy Spirit. If you have a love for God, if you have a desire to please God, it's an evidence that he's given you spiritual life. He has quickened you. It's too late for you to ask him to save you. He's already done it. Now, there is a saving influence that we need each day from the gospel and from the word of God so that we continue to pay attention to the small things and honor him in the small things and in the big things. All right? But apart from the grace of God, apart from the great work that Jesus did for us, we'd be like the people of the world. And when we forget these things, we are like the people of the world. Because if we're not intentional on reading the Word of God, intentional on serving God, then this old flesh nature is going to pop out more than you can imagine. And it can do it rather quickly, can't it? You know, one car can cut in front of you in traffic and poof, there goes that flesh nature. Don't ask me how I know. All right, but it's truth, isn't it? And so intentionally, we need to be thankful for what God's done for us. Intentionally, we need to make choices that are pleasing him and consistent with his word, because that's our walk. Our walk is not just one step in front of another. Our walk is one choice after another. Our walk is one decision after another. Our walk is one action after another. That's what we're talking about. How we live. How we conduct ourselves. Are we pleasing to the Lord? If somebody's watching you and wondering, are you a child of God? Do you give them enough evidence? God is watching. So, apart from the grace of God, we'd be just like the world. He says, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. That expression has become very special to me. If you've been made to realize how weak you are, if you've been made to realize how much you need God, then you can appreciate but God. Because we are this way by nature, but God had mercy upon us. But God showed grace to us. But God has done wondrous things for us, and he continues to do wondrous things for us every day. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Don't you love that? Those are some of the sweetest words I know. That by grace we're saved. Because I have a desire to please the Lord. I have a desire to walk in a way that will be pleasing unto him. And you do too. And we come short. And the reason it's so sweet is because when we come short, we have that assurance that what Jesus did is taken care of. Of the penalty of our sins. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so we need to remember what he's done for us. We need to remember what he does for us each day. And we need to get up and go again and try again to do better. Now, I'm not talking about trying to, you know, keep in score and trying to do anything legalistic. I'm just simply saying, trust God for what we need. Yes, we're going to sin. Yes, we're going to come short. Hopefully it's not willful sin, but we're going to come short. And bless your hearts, we can go to that throne of grace. We can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because Jesus has already paid the debt. We just need to clear our conscience, and you need to do that on a regular basis. All right? So apart from the grace of God, we'd be just like the world. Every time. Every day, we would be just like the rest of the world, who knows not God, who loves not God, and who's not interested in serving God. But God. Oh, he came to us. He reached down all the way down to where he had to reach to find you and lifted you up. That's grace. That's our God. That's what he's done. All right. You understand depravity. You understand what we are by nature. But he's given us a new nature. He's caused us to be born of his spirit. He's planted his spirit within us. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't do it for us. You know, we're not going to be fatalistic here and say, well, you know, if I make a mistake, well, I'm glad that's over. No, he's not responsible for that. It's whether we're taking care of the little things. It's whether we're looking to him and serving him intentionally, trying to walk in a way that's pleasing in his sight. All right? Continue on in chapter 2. And he speaks of how God has ordained a standard that we should walk. He said in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We rejoice in that, don't we? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, we don't have to do good works? Well, good works has nothing to do with your eternal salvation, but it sure has a lot to do with your day-to-day salvation. That godly influence upon your choices, that godly influence upon your walk, that godly influence upon your decisions that you make, yes, we need that on a daily basis. And so he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now he doesn't do it for us, but he gives us all we need to be able to do them. And if we do them, we're showing our love for him. He's put his love in us. Now let's show our love for him. And we do that by acting upon what he works in us, as Philippians 2 says, both to will and to do his good pleasure. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We show our love by walking in them. We should. All right? We ought to do that, right? You know, on the subject of feet washing, in John chapter 13, Jesus said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then ye also ought to wash one another's feet. That word ought there carries an obligation with it. There's an obligation there. If he, our Lord and Master, showed us the example, he said, I've given you an example that ye should do as I've done unto you. All right, here's an example that we can follow his steps. Ye ought to do it. That's an obligation and an opportunity to show our love for him. All right, so we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should. Have you? Are you? Will you? If we're intentional, if we want to show our love, that's the greatest opportunity we have of showing our love for God. To walk according to his will. Now what he said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. All right. But he also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as we're keeping the commandments, we're showing our love for him. And I tell you, every time we have a temptation and a choice, am I going to do what the flesh wants? Or am I going to do what the Word of God would tell me to do? Am I going to do what I like, or am I going to, you know, hopefully, you know, our will, if we understand that there'll be joy and happiness and blessings in following the will of God, hopefully that there'll be a great desire for us to do that. Okay. So he's ordained that we should walk in those things. All right, in the interest of time. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And then he goes on to tell us how. All right? Walk worthy. Your walk is going to be whatever it is. If we're intentional on serving the Lord, then we may walk worthy. Don't we want to do that? So we can say, thank you, Lord. So we can enjoy fellowship with him and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, that confirmation that the Spirit that's working in us to both to will and to do of his good pleasure, when we act upon that, we'll feel the joy from doing it. Because there's agreement with the Spirit of God in us. And there's joy there. That's what Jesus said when he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The happiness comes when we follow what we know, and when we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, there'll be some joy there that we wouldn't have otherwise. All right? So he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And then his word goes on to explain to us what that worthiness is all about. He says, very quickly, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace with one another, peace with God. Jesus came, and by his sacrifice, he has obtained eternal redemption for us, which has created peace. When the angels proclaim glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, that peace was the peace that Jesus made when he reconciled us to God, taking away our sins. When we walk worthy, and when we walk according to the will of God, then we create peace among ourselves. When we walk contrary to the will of God, that's when that peace is disturbed. We want to walk in peace with one another. We want to walk in peace with God so we can enjoy his fellowship and the feeling of his presence. Okay? So he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. There's a worthy walk. He goes in later in that chapter and he speaks about the gifts that he's given to the church and how we can, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That last gift, pastors and teachers, is one gift. Okay, what's it for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is a big word. It just simply means to be built up spiritually. When we apply ourselves and when we're taught in the Word of God, it helps us to understand more of His will. It helps us to understand how we should walk. It helps us to understand what it is that's pleasing to God. We need that, don't we? That's why the Old Testament's full of instruction of parents teaching their children. You know, 1 hour on Sunday morning is just not enough. All right? So we need that regular instruction. And I also believe in paying attention to those little things. You go back in the Old Testament, the law service, and especially those dietary laws, every time the children of Israel were about to choose something that they would eat, they had to remember, now, is this clean or is this unclean? Now, one item, clean or unclean, wouldn't make all that much difference. But the Lord told them what was clean and what was not clean. And so every time they would eat a meal, you know, and it became second nature when you got more accustomed to it, but you would learn what's clean and what's unclean, and it was something that they were exposed to every day. Not just at the time of a feast, but every day. And so the little things, when we're exercised in those things on a regular basis, they build character. They build knowledge. They build a basis for our life that this is how we're going to walk. And so we find God has given to the church those things that we need. And he says it's till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's a great benefit, next verse. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, we're exposed to so much nowadays. Facebook and advertising and television and all those kinds of things. And you can hear just about anything in the world. And within Christianity, there's so many people teaching, putting things, especially like on Facebook, there's so many things, people putting religious things on there. And, you know, I enjoy the good things. But every now and then, you run across those things that, this is not right. You know, Brother Kenneth was showing me something, I don't know, several months ago about this man that was teaching that the soul goes with the body to the grave and sleeps there until the resurrection. And he had all these reasons why that was so. And we just took a little time and went through a few scriptures and found out what he was saying was not so. We know that's not so. The soul departs the body when you breathe out your last. It doesn't go to the grave. It either goes back to God that gave it, or it goes to hell awaiting the resurrection. It doesn't sleep with the body. All right? Just little thing. All right? That's not such a little thing. But what I'm saying is we need the Word of God. We need regular exposure to the Word of God so that we know, not so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you don't get it all at once. We live in a culture where we want instant gratification. We want everything. You know, we've got Google. We can find anything we want just like that. And I'm afraid some of those people have bailed out on the Word of God because it doesn't have everything on one subject in one spot. Bless your hearts. God gave it to us in the way that is, I am satisfied with every fiber of being in me, that it's he gave it to us exactly the best way. And I'm satisfied that's right. And so just read it. And just ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it as we read it. And little by little, line upon line, like Isaiah said, line upon line, you know, even reading that passage where Isaiah goes through it is kind of monotonous. I'm not criticizing the Word of God. I'm just simply saying it says it's line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here little, there little. I think that's a direct quote. I'm not emphasizing. I'm telling you that's exactly what it says. And so it is. We need those regular exposures. And we need to hear it again. And we need to hear it again. And every time we hear it, we get a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon. We build, we build, we build, we gain understanding of how we should walk. We're admonished to walk worthy. In other words, our choices, our decisions, every step we make needs to be guided by what's pleasing to the Lord. And how we know that is to be exposing ourselves to this word, reading it, learning it, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So many of God's people are dependent upon what they think the Holy Spirit will just dump into their head without them actually taking face time and reading the Word of God. And I'm not saying you have to have a paper Bible. You can read it from your phone. You can read it whatever. But just read it. We need it. Okay? How can we learn it without reading it? Okay. All right. Later in chapter 4, verse 17. He said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." In other words, don't go back. If you tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you're there, if you're beginning to understand how he would have us to walk, don't go back. "That you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." And he describes what's happened. And he describes their kind of thinking. He describes what happens to them. And I'm going to tell you something. This can happen to a child of God who sets the Word of God aside and goes back to his old ways. Listen. He said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart." If we turn away, if we turn away from the light, if we reject the light, then spiritual darkness comes. And where are you? You're in confusion. You don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Your mind becomes darkened to the things of God. Oh, now, you know, just leaving off reading for a while, you can feel that you become dull of hearing because you don't remember it as easily, as quickly. And so that's the beginning of that darkness settling in. Oh, how we need regular exposure to the light. We need it. So that we don't go back. So that we don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Paul was writing to Ephesus here, Gentile church. He said, don't do like those other folks. You know, he called you for a reason. He called you, and as Peter said, he called us out of darkness, his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises. All right? That's why he called us, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there are great blessings in that. So don't go back. And so he goes in later in the chapter talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new. So all of these things, it's just so rich in teaching us how we need to walk. And it's plain. These are not dark sayings. These are plain teachings that if you'll just read it, you'll have a better understanding of how we need to be walking before God. And he concludes chapter 4, the two verses, 31, 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. See, that's how we were according to the course of this world. Don't go back to that. Put all those things, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's your big why. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not might forgive, not will, not, you know, someday. He already has. As we said yesterday at St. Andrew, how do we know that he's already forgiven us? Because Jesus died on the cross. God sent him this world to save his people from their sins, and he did it on the cross. He's already forgiven us. But as a matter of conscience, when we do wrong, we need to ask him for forgiveness so that we can have our conscience purged, so that it doesn't bother us. So that we can get up and go again and try to be more faithful the next time. Then chapter 5. He shows us a better way. A better way. Alright? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Boy, he's just hammering on this subject, isn't he? I mean, I'm skipping a whole lot here. But he's just laying it out and just over and over and over. He's telling us how we need to be walking. How we need to be living our life. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. There's a lot in that expression, dear children. You know, I can think back over my life, and there's a lot of times when I wasn't a dear child to my parents. I guess I want to do my own thing. I wasn't a dear child. A dear child, when a child is doing what you would want them to do and doing it well and doing it with kindness and doing it in love, that's endearing, isn't it? That means we're close. And the Lord would have us to do that. When we're following his will and doing those things which are pleasing unto him, we have that closeness with him, that dearness. And Paul is telling us, listen, if you want to add quality to your life, if you want to find joy, if you want to find peace, if you want to find strength and happiness against the trials that you're going to have to face, bless your hearts, stay close to the Lord. Be followers as dear children. Not just children. We're children by, he's adopted us into the family. We're the part of the family of God, and nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But we're not always dear children. We need to be dear children. All right? And so he tells us how. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. It all comes back to because Jesus has done so much for us. If we want to walk as dear children, remember the love that Christ has for us, what he did for us. Enjoy that and follow that. Walk in that. You know, when he said, as Christ also hath loved us, how much does he love us? Really, 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 truly now. How much does Jesus love us?
He gave his son.
God gave us his son, but how much does Jesus love us? Jesus said on more than one occasion, as the Father hath loved me. Do you think the Father loved Jesus very much?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
How much the Father loved his Son?
Yeah.
Even though he gave him for our sins? As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said,
I shall love you.
So have I loved you.
There you go.
There's a lot of love there. Oh, there's a lot of love there. We got a lot of room to return love to him. He has so much for us. So he says, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. Everything Jesus did was according to the will of the Father. And the Father thundered from heaven on more than one occasion, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father, who is holy, holy, holy. The Father, who is altogether goodness and righteousness and glorious, because that goodness is in himself. He said, I'm well pleased with my Son. Jesus always did, and he's admonishing us, be like that, doing the will of God, walking in his will, not serving ourselves, but serving God. That's where you'll find joy in this life. That's where you'll find purpose in this life. There's an awful lot of people that just, they're lost in this world. They don't have any purpose whatsoever. It's because they don't have the Lord in their life. And there's a lot of them that could be God's people. Could be. But the more we seek to serve him, the more purpose we'll feel in our life. Because that's what he's created us to do, is to be faithful to him. He hath before ordained that we should walk in those good works. In other words, every decision we're making, being in sync with his will. You'll find more purpose. You'll find more joy. You'll find fellowship with God in that. He goes on in that chapter talking about how we're children of light. Walk in the light. Walk in that light. Get down to verse 15 in chapter 5. And he talks, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. All right. In other words, put it all together. We've said a lot. He said a lot already about how we should walk and looking to the Lord and being dear children and all that we need to learn to help our walk. Put it all together. Walk circumspectly. Circumspect, circum, all around, all aspects of our life. Mindful of this area of our life. Mindful of this area of our life. We got a lot to shore up, don't we? I do. Maybe you're doing a better job of it than I am. I've got a lot to work on in my life. But if we're circumspect, we're looking at all aspects all around us and trying to follow the Lord as best we can. But you know, the more we realize our need, the more we realize our weakness. And so chapter 6 concludes by telling us he's given us armor. The more we realize our need of his help to walk in a way that's pleasing unto him, the more we realize our need for this armor. I don't have time to go into the armor. You know the armor of God. But listen, how wonderful that he ends up with that. Because when we look at this, we could easily get overwhelmed and realize, I fail him so many times. I come so far short. I keep making mistakes. Bless your hearts, he's given us armor. He's given us all the help we need. And it's not some physical suit that you put on. It's righteousness. It's truth. It's the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we keep those things in memory, it saves us from so many discouragements and so many heartaches that we face in this life. And so as we're trying to walk the way we should, remember you've got armor to help you in the battle. Because you'll come to realize it is truly a battle. We've got an adversary. We've got the flesh. We've got this world. And they're all against God. They all have enmity against God. But he's given us help. And one of the greatest helps he's given us is he's given us his Holy Spirit to abide in us. It's there at all times. We can talk to the Lord without saying a word, can't we? Because the Spirit maketh intercession for us. We can remember the Word of God. Because as we go through our experiences, and if we have a good basis of understanding of the Word of God, the Spirit will bring things to mind to help us in making the decisions that we need to make that would be pleasing to the Lord. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The way we fight against those things, you know, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he do? He used the sword of the Spirit, didn't he? He quoted scripture. But I remind you, he quoted appropriate scripture. Of course, he knows all things. So the more of it we know, the more of it we have available to help us in this fight. Oh, but bless your hearts. God has loved us. God has saved us by sending his Son to this world. He loves us so much that he watches over us and cares for us each day. He's given us his word to help us, to instruct us, to teach us so that we can recognize the things that we need to work on and to serve him more faithfully. And he's given us armor to put it on to help us in the battle. I tell you, if those things don't show you that God loves you, we need to consider it more. Because in the book of Ephesians, all the way through, I never read the book of Ephesians what I don't end up with a greater sense of God's love. How much he loves us, and how we can honor him, and how we should walk as dear children to show in return the love that he's shown to us. We started out, Sister Jemima wanted that song, The Love of God. Good song. Good subject. It's what we're talking about. God's love for us. Let's show love to him in return. Let's walk as dear children. We got all the help we need. May God help us to do just that. May God bless you is our prayer.